want to say thank you for getting back to me.
You're welcome.
I was afraid that you only listened on Sunday evenings and that you wouldn't be up this late.
Well, I was already asleep. My wife was listening to you, and she woke me up.
Woke you up, eh? All right. There's a lot of confusion. People misheard the fact. Some people thought it was 50 yards in that you crawled. It wasn't. It was about, according to the facts, 50 feet, correct?
Right.
Now,
this thicket was, I would say, about 50 feet wide by 150 feet long. It was in a draw or ravine or whatever you want to call it. And you could not see down into it, but there was no leaves, so you could see what was in front of you.
All right, let me take you back before this, if I can. The only part, and you may have heard me or your wife may have heard me mention this, that I had a hard time was that the first shots that were taken apparently were taken at night from about 100 yards.
Right.
And I take it what you had in your sights was a biped of some sort up on two legs, right?
Right, right. Well, when we first seen what it was, we seen the eyes. It was basically reddish. At first, we thought it could be a deer. The eyes were similar. And as we got closer, it was probably, I assume it was in a crouch or kneeling position. And as we got closer, we came around a bend in the road that went into this flat area that run alongside the river, and it was a plowed field. And we were able to see, as we got closer, when we hit the lights, the pickup lights hit it first, brought the spotlights on it. We're using 500,000 candlewatt quartz beam lights.
Wow.
Back in 1973, we did this basically professionally because we were hunting coyotes, bobcats, coons, that sort of thing, because they were bringing a lot of money.
I've got you.
And as we come around, like I said, when the lights first hit it, we thought that it was a deer with the eyes. And as we got closer, we could see it was something crouched. And when we stopped the pickup, it stood up.
All right, so at first it was crouched down on all fours.
I wouldn't say it was on all fours.
Or you mean kind of crouched down like you...
kneeling or something.
All right, I've got you. Mm-hmm. And so then as you got closer, it reared up. It got up.
Right. And
how much detail could you make out of this thing?
At the point, when we throw the scopes on it, we could tell what it was.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there was no doubt in our mind. Bird Dog and myself both knew immediately what it was. That it was a Bigfoot because the hair, the outline, the human form. But it was so hard to... The excitement, the adrenaline at that point was pumping like you wouldn't believe.
No, I'd believe it.
And I laid my rifle out my window, and he come across the top of the cab with his. And we both fired simultaneously. I mean, that's the way we did it when we hit coats. Whichever one side, one of us fire out the... Fire out the driver's side or the window, and the other one come across the cab, and we both fired. And we fired instantly. He was using a 300 Weatherby, which is 300 Magnum. Mm-hmm. I was using the 243.
Okay.
He was shooting, I believe, either 280. I believe it was a 280 grain bullet, and I was firing a 125 grain bullet. And we both fired. He fell over. I mean, it just like not really fell over, like he was knocked over. I'm assuming the 300 is what did that. We thought he was down. Has he come back up?
Okay, I'm not an expert with guns. I know something about them, but I take it these are of a caliber and velocity that would bring down any normal animal. Right?
Would 300 bring anything down in the northern United States and North America?
Okay.
The 243, no, it's not. It's more of a varmint weapon.
All right.
But the 300, I mean, you could probably bring down an elephant with it.
Okay.
It's probably the most powerful rifle there is in this part of the world outside of an elephant gun. And the animal got up, stood on his hind feet, started to run away from us, and we fired again and again. It was just like something pushed him down. We knocked him down. And again, we thought he wasn't going to get up. And we opened our doors. I did, and stepped outside, and Bird Dog come around the front. And he jumped up, and he took off again, and this is when we fired the third time. And we hit him again because he kind of lurched forward, but he was far enough out that he went across. He hit the fence and it just rolled across the fence. And he got down into the river there, and he was gone.
Now, this was all at about what time of night?
I would say probably about 2:30.
2:30 in the morning. All right. Mm-hmm. So that was at the end of what occurred that night?
Right. We didn't do any more looking for him that night because, you know, this thing is bigger than both of us put together nearly.
Yeah, I wouldn't go in there.
And we knew that he was hit. We knew that he was hit bad. And so...
You figured he wouldn't go very far.
No, he's not going to go very far.
So...
He's been hit at least three times by both weapons. He's not going very far.
Right. And he didn't. You came back when the next day, roughly?
Oh, we didn't even go to sleep. We just kind of drove around until sun's light.
I see.
And I would say probably, 7:30, 8, we arrived back over there. We picked up the blood trail. Bird Dog was a tracker in Vietnam. It was very easy for him to follow the trail. And we went down, I imagine about a half a mile, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Come up on the thicket. And that was when we went in after it.
All right. You're the guy, you flipped a coin to see who would go in odd man out, right?
Yeah, I never was very lucky.
So in you go with a .44 Magnum.
Right.
And you got about 50 feet in and found what? So in you go with a .44 Magnum.
Right.
And you got about 50 feet in and found what?
Well... As I was going in, I was scared, to be honest with you. But I never suspected two of them. I got in, and the sound that this thing made as it come up at me.
What was that sound? You've heard me play, I assume.
Nothing like what you play.
Nothing like what I play.
Nothing like.
All right.
It's more of a scream.
A scream.
I mean, a woman can't scream the squealing sound the way this thing screamed. And it just put chills down your spine. But I seen it move. I seen it coming toward me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on all fours coming toward me. And I fired. And the .44, I'm shooting a 240 grain hollow point with an overcharge, literally knocked that thing back about 3 or 4 feet. It got up and it come after me again, and I fired again. It did it three times that away. And the fourth time, it stood completely up. And when it did, Bird Dog and my other buddy cut loose on it, and they went through the head.
All right, I take it the thicket was low enough so that when this creature stood up all the way, it was standing high enough so they could get a shot at it.
Obviously. Right, right. They're probably a plum thicket, I imagine probably 5-6 foot tall.
Okay.
And something to that extent. Well, it dropped and didn't make no more sounds. And I got closer, and I think it wasn't breathing. So it was gone. And about another probably 10 foot on the other side of it, I think the other one laying there. And so it took all three of us to drag them out. They were that heavy. And then when we examined them, we got scared. Because the organs, everything... It was just like a human body with hair on it.
Oh, that was going to be my question. It was covered with hair?
Right. Had a kind of a brownish red hair.
Brownish red. And You estimated the weight, I think the male about 350 pounds, the female about 300, huh?
Something in that neighborhood.
And both of them over 7 feet.
At least. They were. I can promise you that they were at least 7 foot tall. They could have even been taller.
No clothing, right?
No clothing.
The head looking half human?
I don't know how to really explain it.
Best you can.
It had a nose similar to a human's nose, but the mouth similar to an ape. The eyes, half human, half ape looking. It had a large, protruding type forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas ours, you know, kind of comes almost down on your eyes. This one hung probably half an inch or so out. More so than ours would.
Did it have a neck?
A short neck.
Very short, huh?
Probably, if I remember right, maybe 3 inches.
That's not much of a neck.
I tell you, the best way to describe the way they look from the backside, you've seen weightlifters where they don't have no neck and it just goes all up into muscles.
Yeah, sure.
That's the way it looked.
No, like a no-necked NFL player.
Right, right.
Well, look, I can imagine your fear. I mean, what did you guys do when you finally got the bodies? You dragged them out. You looked at them. What was the conversation like?
Well, we started talking about what are we going to do? Should we notify somebody or should we bury these suckers or what?
Right.
And we finally come to the conclusion that we might go to prison. And so we decided, hey, let's put these suckers in a hole. And we buried them. And then covered it where nobody'd ever know they'd been buried there.
All right. Well, I'm not an attorney, but from what you've told me, you didn't commit murder. I mean, you were hunting. And clearly, I think if your description is even close to accurate, you did not kill what we think of as human beings. Let me ask you to stay put for just a minute. I've got commercial things I must do. And so without identifying the person, other than to say, this is Bugs. We'll be back in just one moment. To somebody identified only as Bugs. All right, Bugs. So you guys, you sat around, you talked about it, you figured, look, we could get charged with something. Let's bury our mistake, I guess, or bury our... Did you consider it a mistake at that point?
I don't know what I considered it. I just... being cautious is more than anything. We didn't know what would happen or what would go on, and it was just better that we just bury it. We took photographs.
Oh, that's the other question. You took, it says here, 10 Polaroid photographs.
Right.
Do you have those?
I don't have my three. They burned in my house, burned in 1979. My friends still have theirs.
All right.
They still seven photographs out there somewhere.
Uh-huh. So you feel you could return to the area, the site where these creatures are buried?
I know exactly where they're buried.
Your only request is that you would have assistance if it came to legal trouble. Is that correct?
Well, I don't want to go to jail.
Well, it's been a long time. You're coming forward now. What made you decide to come forward? I mean, halfway.
I never told no one except my wife, and I told her about this probably a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the basic reason, I used to own every kind of weapon there was.
Mm-hmm.
Been an ex-Marine, you know. What the heck? But after that happened, I don't even own a weapon anymore. It did something to me.
That makes sense.
And I don't know, I was listening to y'all talking the other night, and everybody was kind of laughing about, you know, Bigfoot. Hey, it's real, buddy.
All right. right, look, here's what I propose to do. I will, with your permission, get you a telephone number that you can call if you want to. Now, I'm the only one who knows how to get hold of you right now.
And you keep it that way.
And I'll keep it that way, I promise. What I will do is I'll contact the people at the Bigfoot Project. And if you want to proceed, I will then give you their number, and you can call them and take it a step at a time with them. How does that sound?
Well, that sounds fine, but I'll tell you, I still have to talk to my other two friends. They no longer live here. One of them, let's put it this way. If I told you where the other one is.
Yeah, don't tell me.
But they no longer live in this town.
Well, if you know how to contact them, why don't you go ahead and do that and see if they feel the same way you do or not? And we'll proceed from there, Bugs.
But it'll have to be unanimous with all of us. All three of us will have to agree to it.
I understand. I appreciate your coming forward. I'm sure you'll hear some comment about it, and I appreciate your telling the story. So all I can tell you is I will protect you.
I will tell you this much, Art. The day I die, I will have a map where it's at.
Well, maybe
we'll... I'm 51 years old now, so it's not going to last forever.
All right, sir. I've got to take off. Thank you very much, Bugs.
You're welcome.
Get a good night's sleep. You can. Well, there. Surprise.